to Bobby Abrams. When you coming up, you play football obviously probably from an early age. When did you decide you think you're going to be able to play a college ball, maybe even to the next level?
Well, I started my sophomore year in high school, Henry Ford High School in Detroit. I wanted to go to college to get an education. I never thought about playing professional football. I never wrote on the questionnaires, what do you want to be when you grow up? I always thought I was going to be a civil engineer or something like that. I was fortunate to get the football scholarship to the University of Michigan with Bo Schembechler. Played in three Rose Bowls, Hall of Fame Bowl, in which we beat Alabama
year.
I'm sorry, Alabama fans.
Yeah.
Come towards draft time at the end of my Michigan career, I thought I was going to be drafted maybe in the seventh round. Maybe we had 12 rounds back then. But fortunately, it was the 12th round, and Bill Parcells called my apartment there in Ann Arbor. And he has the scraggly voice. He said, "Abrams, I know you've been sitting there waiting for the draft. Son, I'm sorry, we have to take a kicker." I think it was Matt Stover. He said, "But we want you to come in as a free agent." And I'm excited. I'm, "Yes, sir, coach, yes, sir." Yeah. He said, "We're flying you in tomorrow. Is that all right?" "Yes, sir, that's all right." So I was there the next day and signed a free agent contract. And it's a funny story. George Young, I think, was the general manager, passed away recently. He told my agent at the time, he said, 28 teams passed Bobby up 12 times. It was 28 teams in the league. They had 12 rounds. 28 teams passed Bobby up 12 times. Don't ask us for a dime. He's going to get the minimum, and that's it. And
What was the minimum? It was like
minimum
$150
was $70,000 and a $10,000 signing bonus. That was back in 1990.
Yeah.
And I actually made more money during the playoffs and the Super Bowl than I did my first year under my contract.
So money, what's the minimum now? It's
minimum now, I think, is $275 for 5 years and under. Over 5 years, it's $475. Yeah. So they've increased that minimum quite a bit.
Sizably,
right. They've also increased the amount of playoff money. Back when I was playing, it was $65,000 if you won the Super Bowl. Now I think it's $150,000.
Yeah.
So
people believe, I guess they say, well, he played in the NFL, he's got to be a rich man. It's not always the case.
Right, it's not always the case. You would think, well, anybody's playing professional anything is rich beyond belief. And you have people on the lower end of the totem pole and the higher end of the totem pole. I used to brag about the little $3,000 a week I was making until 1 week Lawrence Taylor showed me his check. And it was $125,000 a week.
Was he the highest paid player there? Was it Phil Sims?
Him
maybe?
And Phil yeah. Sims.
Well, you know, you played with LT. You're a linebacker, right?
Linebacker.
I mean, what was your size when you got to the pros?
When I got to the pros, I was about 6'4", 230 pounds.
Which was a pretty good size at that
good
time.
Good size. I finished 7 years later, 6'4", about 250. Today, I sit here 6'4", a nice donut away from 300. But I was a little small coming in my first rookie years with the Giants. But I played with guys like Lawrence Taylor and Carl Banks, Pepper Johnson, who's
great
linebacker coach now with the Patriots, Gary Reasons, Steve Diassi. Johnny Cooks was a first-round draft choice out of Mississippi State. So I had an all-star linebacking cast that I played behind for 2 years.
What are those guys when you're in college? What are they? I mean, even pros when you get up there with LT and all, do they work out in the weight room hard? I mean, some of those big guys. What are they pressing and squatting?
That depends. And I'll be honest. In New York, LT didn't lift a lot of weights. I think I seen him come in once or twice, and he had his golf shoes on. The hardest
that
team
that doesn't surprise me.
He worked at the golf bag.
Right. The hardest team that really hit the weights was the Dallas Cowboys when I was with them a couple of years. You'll see guys squatting 500-600 pounds, benching 400-500 pounds. But we didn't do a lot of that New York.
Did you think that anybody was using steroids at the time or any of that stuff?
It never crossed my mind. It was something you never talked about. It really wasn't an issue. I've never seen a needle from another player. You would think he's in the back of the shower, juicing up before a game or something. I never saw anything like that.
Well, you played with LT, Lawrence Taylor, one of the, I guess, most dynamic guys out there, one of the wild guys, as a matter of fact. Is all that true? What you can tell us about LT, some stories maybe about him?
I can tell you 1,000 stories. I don't know if it's just a rated R show.
We're going to keep it. You know, when they had the NFL film stuff, they had to bleep him left and right.
We're going to keep it rated G this morning. Yeah. But I would say pretty much most of the stuff you've heard has some truth in it. And I've seen a lot of things. Of course, I caught Lawrence on his tail end of his career. I wasn't there doing the serious drug use and partying. I caught a little of the partying towards the end of Lawrence's career. I have to say, from what I've seen, if you watch Any Given Sunday, that football movie, I think that's an outstanding image of the NFL.
Taylor, you know, he always had that wild, crazy dogs type line and stuff like that. Was he out there to kill the other guys out there? Was he kind of – he always acted like he was?
Lawrence always acted like it 24 hours a day. I've got one story. Lawrence was late to the Washington Redskins game. We're playing Washington Redskins in New York. And Parcells comes up to me and say, Rook, you might have to start today. You ready? I'm scared. No, and I'm not ready. I haven't practiced. Lawrence practiced all week. Yeah. Well, we go out and practice, and they're singing the national anthem. We come back in for the last little. They're getting ready to introduce the starters, and here comes Lawrence. He's got a leather coat, leather pants, and leather shoes.
No kidding.
Not quite ready.
Those three items only.
That's it.
A leather coat, leather pants, and leather shoes. He rips all three of those off, puts his uniform on, goes out with Washington, and has 3 sacks that night. And it was just amazing.
Always on. Always ready to go.
He would scare me sometimes. We'd come to the sideline. He'd say, hey, Rook, come here, Rook. He'd say, I'm going to sleep. Wake me up when it's time for defense. Come back. I'm like, Lawrence, I got to focus on the game, man. I'm playing special teams. I can't watch you and watch everything do my job at the same time. But he would joke with me like that. And guys would call me Rook. And, I had to take the linebackers out every other week. And that was a big experience.
You have to do
that,
right.
That's why on that rookie salary you can't get anywhere.
right.
How about Phil Sims? What was he like? I mean, a quarterback that had been there for several years.
Phil was an excellent leader, excellent quarterback. He actually got hurt after week 10, week 11 of that Super Bowl. And Jeff
Hostetler led you to the Super Bowl championship.
And led us to the Super Bowl through the playoffs. Sims, great leader. I like his kid. A lot. Chris, who's at Tampa Bay, Chris Sims. Pretty similar style when I see Chris, I guess, in the preseason.
Same white hair.
Right. Looks just like him. So I can't say nothing bad about Sims. In fact, I've been fortunate to play with Aikman in Dallas. I was fortunate to play with Warren Moon in Minnesota, Drew Bledsoe in New England. So all those quarterbacks are Hall of Fame quarterbacks, top-notch quarterbacks. Aikman was quiet. He was a quiet guy. He was a leader. He led on the field, showed his abilities on the field. Warren Moon was a quiet guy. So, again, I've played with all-star Hall of Fame players and Hall of Fame coaches, and again, I'm just fortunate to have had the opportunity, and I've got all of this knowledge inside of me just bursting out. Yeah. And I try to release it when I can on a daily basis in my job at Southside and in my life. And I wear the Super Bowl ring every day, not to brag and showboat, but to show the kids in our society that you can achieve. I always tell them, go to college, get your education, because that's the goal. I always tell them, get your teacher certification in whatever you do, because you never know, you might want to teach one day.